Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Countrywide at RTE.ie or text 51551. We're going to swing over to Mayo now. We heard 2 weeks ago that sea temperatures off the western and southern coasts of Ireland were so high that they constituted a marine heat wave, and it came as some of our most famous salmon rivers like the Erif were closed because of the escalating warmth in the water, which is very stressful to fish. Well, Lorna Siggins took a boat out into Loch Fia in Mayo with two biologists from the Marine Institute who've been monitoring these rising temperatures and observing how Atlantic salmon are adapting or trying to adapt to the ever-warming conditions. Elvira Dieto began by showing Lorna how they collect water samples.
So we just fill up these bottles, give it a rinse a couple of times. And just, you know, because the lab is so close, it's ideal because when you're taking samples for water testing, you want to try and do the analysis pretty quick. So either do the analysis or get them into the fridge or the freezer pretty quick. So we're just in the boat here off the pier from Loch Fia, and this lake is probably one of the best monitored lakes in Ireland, just kind of by accident. It is part of the normal lake monitoring programme that the EPA would carry out, but it's also monitored by the Marine Institute. There's a long history of monitoring here since the 1950s when the Guinness Company decided they wanted to have a research station. They wanted to investigate breeding salmon. Do you see the White House up there on the right?
Yeah.
That's the original Treen Lawer House, which was where the original research station was. So the fish data that we collect goes back to the 1950s. So these two channels, they lead straight out into the Atlantic. And so every migratory fish that's moving up and down between the Atlantic and the freshwater part of the Burr Shiel catchment can be counted. So that's Atlantic salmon, brown trout and European eel, and all those three species of fish are counted by the staff at the Marine Institute here every day, twice a day.
So it's like one of the best outdoor laboratories in Europe.
Yeah, there is, I think, one place in Ireland that has a longer full census than us.
Yeah, what's unique here is that it's a whole catchment capture. We get the fish from the entire catchment, where those other rivers, that might be only a tributary.
We realise, not me, but previous people in here, recognise the need to have the environmental data to support whatever we see in the fish data. So water temperature, oxygen, the chemistry of the rivers, the food sources, all the things that might change how a fish is reacting.
So the data for surface temperature, for instance, that dates back to 1960?
So the surface water temperature is actually our longest running data set. And the data that I tend to use starts in 1960. And so that data set, the surface water temperature of Loch Fia, is one of the longest in situ lake water temperatures in the world, actually. And we first started using it a lot as part of a big global lake temperature collaboration. And one of the papers that we used the data in 2015 showed that the Loch Fia temperature, even in 2015, we already saw signs of warming. And now 10 years on, 2025, we just see that rate is increasing. So the annual increase is about 0.2 degrees per decade. So that doesn't sound a lot, 0.2 degrees per decade. But when you multiply it by 7, which is 7 decades, that's 1.4 degrees. That's 1.5 degrees. But our average winter temperature, so that's like December, January, February, is increasing by 0.3 degrees per decade. So the winter warming for us and for west of Ireland catchments is probably more significant than the summer temperatures, because all of our biology, all of our timing, all the adaptation has been by cold water species. So Atlantic salmon is a cold water adapted species. European eel, Arctic char, they're all cold water species. So there's things going on in the winter that is really important that they get that cold water. And we're just not seeing those really cold temperatures anymore in winter.
And then also concerning is the recent rise that you have recorded.
So on about the 23rd of May, around that time, last 2 weeks of May, we had already noticed the water temperatures really increasing and being very warm for this time of year. So in May, we were seeing temperatures of 15, 16, 17, 18 degrees in the hatchery where we run some breeding programs, which are really high for May and much higher than we would expect. And similarly, Glenn noticed the marine weather buoys, the signs of a heat wave, a marine heat wave. And in May, the temperature off the coast was 3 degrees warmer than normal for May.
What was happening at sea was being mirrored in Lough Fia. Yeah.
For Lough Fia, the warmest month is usually August, September, and the coolest months of the for the water is more like February, March, right? So the winter temperatures cool the water, but this year they just haven't really cooled it as much as we would have liked to seen. So January, the temperature was already above average. January, February, March, April was already way above what we would have seen in the last 70 years of data. And we saw this also in 2023, which is also when the last big recorded marine heat wave was 2023. All these ecosystems, they're not separate ecosystems. They're all linked from the top of the mountains right out to the deep Atlantic. They're all linked and they're all one big continuous chain of events.
Just remember going back to June 2023 where shellfish farmers were very worried by that marine heat wave, but then it didn't continue, so it was seen as temporary.
I mean, they are temporary spikes, as in they're short-lived. Like we can see now, you know, the water temperature of the lake has dropped back down again to I think 14 degrees it was this morning, so they do drop down again. So they are short-lived. The heat waves can be short-lived, but I think all the numerical modelling shows that they're probably going to become more frequent, they're going to be a little bit more severe, and they're going to be a bit more longer lasting. And we need to prepare for that and adapt.
And talking about adapting, so we're coming up to UN World Ocean Day. There's a lot of focus on particularly vulnerable species out in the sea for the Atlantic salmon, Joshka.
So as Elvira said, the fish are growing faster during the freshwater. So they might leave the system earlier if they leave at a particular size, or bigger if they leave at a particular age. Now, there is a mismatch when they arrive to their feeding grounds, where climate might not impact them directly, but might impact their food and the fish that they're eating. There is a shift in the distribution of species, so the species are moving northward. So they might arrive to the feeding ground and there is no fish to eat. So what we see actually in scales, where we can see the growth rings of the fish at sea, we see that they have phases where they starve at sea.
So this would be, say, off Greenland?
Either off Greenland or in the Norwegian Sea. And they would be starving for short periods. So this is likely why we see them come back smaller.
So if your body size has decreased by 10%, the number of eggs that you carry actually probably has decreased by a bit more than 10%. So when you go up the catchment to spawn, there's less juveniles. So they're coming back a bit hungrier, a bit smaller, a bit earlier, less eggs. And then that has implications then for the generation that they're spawning.
Back in time for tea.
Yep.
Does your research make you feel a bit pessimistic?
Yeah, it definitely does, because I would. My feeling is all the data tells us something really obvious. It's something really obvious. We see it every day. Those of us who are in the fish, in the traps, counting the fish, measuring the temperature, looking at the data, we see it every day. But overall, I'm not pessimistic, because I think, you know, if you just give nature a little bit of space, it bounces back really quickly.
Lorna Siggins with biologists Elvira Dieto and Joshka Kaufman from the Marine Institute there in Mayo.